Jesus preaches lot worse.
Got back up. I thought he was going to tell me something. Good to be here this morning. I'm glad y'all are all here, and we got some folks traveling and some that are not feeling well. I know we'll get to the prayer request here in just a little bit. We had a very good class time this morning. We always do, and I know y'all do as well. I want to remind you, you're missing a blessing if you're not coming to Sunday school. We get some good Bible study and some good fellowship, so try to make that happen if you can. I woke up this morning, looked outside, and the humidity was literally so thick that you could cut it, looked like, with a knife. And it's hot. It's really hot out there. But you know what? It's normal for this time of the year. Enjoy while you can, because it'll be cold here shortly. Okay? We're never satisfied, are we? No. Okay, I am glad to be here. Y'all pray for me. I got just a little touch of headache. There's something blooming right now that's really not agreeing with me too well, so I desire your prayers. All right. Now, tonight, we scheduled our business meeting for tonight. Normally it would have been last Sunday night, but because this is our annual business meeting, took a little bit of time to get everything organized and all the stuff in from our last fiscal year. So Brother Russ is going to be busy tonight. And I encourage you to come and hear what we've done here. And where we've been and some of the things we've got planned, and you'll be able to see the financial stability of our church, and there's a whole lot of stuff you can learn tonight. If you're not going to come but to one business meeting, tonight needs to be it. Okay, so 6 o'clock. Come. Okay, next Sunday morning we will have a special offering for Brother Walter. As they continue his family to battle financial difficulties, if you will, because of the cancer treatments and stuff. If you've ever been through that, you know the bills keep coming and coming and coming. So that's what it'll be. Then the next event will be September the 29th. That will be our quarterly singing and fellowship. So that night, we will come over here and sing, if he don't run all of our singers off before we get there. And then we'll have finger foods across the way. So a good time of singing and fellowship. This morning, nursery attendants are Cindy and Jerry. Next Sunday is Sam and Donna. I'm not sure they'll be back. Donna told me they were going to try to be gone for a couple weeks. So I don't know if her mom's or if his her mom's okay, then they may not be back. So someone may have to fill in if we need to. All right. Any other announcements?
Page number 207.
Oh,
your garments, spotless are they, white as snow, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to see everybody out and in the Lord's house this morning. Can't think of a better place to be than right here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church. I'd like to, everybody knows I was kind of under the weather last week and wasn't able to lead the song service. I looked pretty scruffy. I had a fever, looked kind of like Cliff. I got you back.
You still look better than I
did. Cliff and I have an ongoing joke, so think nothing of it. But I want to thank everybody for your prayers and all of your remedies that I got for the fever blister. In fact, long about the first of the week last week, I got to thinking, hey, this wouldn't be too bad. I could just mix all this stuff together and mix a poultice in it, stick my head in it. Joyce didn't even know who I was when I came to the breakfast table. But anyway, I'm over it. I have always hated shaving, and I got to tell you, for the very first time in my whole life, I actually enjoyed getting that mess off my face. So it's gone this morning, and I'm back.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to do a choir special for you this morning. You've heard it before, but that's okay. We're going to do it again, only with a little more vim and vitality. How about that? It's entitled, Land Where Living Waters Flow.
I want you to know that I sat down on my mic cord and about pulled my ear off. You ever had that problem before? It'd be all right. I don't have to shave my ear, Gene. I have a card here that I missed a while ago. I'm going to rip it open and read it for the first time. So if I stutter about it, forgive me. I bless you for all the little things you do in thoughtful ways. Bless you for the way you've brightened up so many days. Bless you for your giving heart, as so kind as it can be. I bless you in a thousand ways for truly blessing me. And it says, dear church family, thank you. Thank you so much for the party, cake, and money. Mostly, thank you all for the love you give. Y'all are the absolute best. I thank God for y'all. May God bless you all. And may we always praise God together. I love y'all. Cindy, I couldn't agree with her more. Y'all are the best. Okay. Bless you. I feel you. All right. Remember that last song that the choir just sang, A Land Where Living Waters Flow? It never ceases to amaze me that God always gives us a sign if we're looking about what we're doing. Gene and I hadn't talked at all. I want you to think about that, though. Remember that as I read down through here now. As I said that, I'll say this. I can't get my mind off of this until I preach it. It's just the way it is. That's the way God works. Now, I ask that you please pray for me as we discuss some things that are going on in our time that concern me greatly and should concern all born-again believers. There's a lot of stuff going on in our nation, in our world, that should be concerning to us. Okay? But here's where we always have to start. Right here. God's Word. This book, the Bible. Now, you know, I preach and read and study out of my iPad a lot. I love my old Bible. I have to get it down, feel of it, and open it up and look through it. And there's notes and writing and underlinings and all that stuff in my old Bible. My iPad's a lot the same way. I've figured out how to put notes in there, so it's covered with notes and highlightings and underlinings. And don't be afraid to mark in your Bible. Use it as a tool to help you become a better Christian. This old Bible, I was looking back through it, and I can see dates and times when I preached sermons and things from when I first started preaching. I love my Bible. Keep it right here. And that's where we start. That's where we always start. That's where we should start in everything that we think and believe. Right there in God's Word. Okay? The Holy Bible is God's Word spoken to us. It is God's Word. It's just like God is telling us personally what He wants us to do and how He wants us to act. It is the Word of God spoken to mankind. Okay, you want to know what God wants us to do? Read what He said. He tells us. I've been guilty of this in the past. If God would just tell me what He wants me to do, I'd be glad to do it, right? Anybody ever said that? Well, He did. It's just up to us to get it. Okay, so read the Word. That's where we have to start. And when we do, note this. Y'all have heard me say this many times, but you can't just pick and choose which verses and scriptures and books you want. It's all God's Word. So don't leave any of it out. And don't make it say anything it's not saying. Now, I'm constantly amazed at how men and women, but men and women, even supposedly educated people, interpret the scriptures to conform to their own beliefs and practices. I'm going to try to keep this within a couple hours this morning. So Was up late last night working on it, and I was up early this morning working on it, and so we may be here a while. Hope you're not too bad hungry. I've told you many, many times that I'm a voracious reader, and you can look that word up. I wish David Stone was here. Now, you can look it up for yourself and see what it means, but I read a lot. I read the Bible. That's where we start. I also read commentaries and books and things like this, but I want you to know that is just men's word interpreting what they understand from God. We don't need anything but God's word and the Holy Spirit to understand what He wants from us, okay? Nothing wrong with learning from other people. I appreciate it, their efforts and stuff like that, but when you're reading commentaries and written books and things like that, other than God's word, no, that's someone else's interpretation of what they're reading, okay? Everything you need to know about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness right here. Okay? From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation chapter 22 and verse 21, you will read about everything that is relevant to living a life pleasing to God. Well, what about me, preacher? Let me tell you something, friend. If you are pleasing God, you will live a happy life because God will bless you. All right? I want you to understand that we all start at the same place, each and every one of us. Well, you know, some of us have been to school more than others, and that should make us, I guess, or y'all, smarter. I'm not sure about me, but we all start at the same place, okay? You know where that's at? It's in John, in chapter 3. And then we're going to read out of 2 Timothy in just a little bit. I want to read to you this morning for just a little bit about Nicodemus. Y'all ever heard of Nicodemus? Okay? John 3, verse 1. Are you there? There was a man of the Pharisees. Now, do y'all remember who the Pharisees were? They were a very religious, well-educated group of people that had a lot of influence over the Jews, were leaders in their religion. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Okay, the same came to Jesus by night. Now, think about this for a second. Jesus Christ was in his ministry, and he'd been performing miracles, and he'd been doing all these things. And Nicodemus was a religious leader of the Jews, Judaism. He knew the law. Why did he come by night? Because he was afraid of what other people would say. And he was afraid of being ridiculed and persecuted because he had went to talk to Jesus. Look, he came to him in the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. So Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders, well versed in the law, he said, we know, that word we, and not I, really means that they all knew that Jesus was a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he's acknowledging in his own way that God sent Jesus. Now, in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, okay, here we go, verily, verily. In other words, it's very important. Listen, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What were these religious leaders looking for? They were looking for God's kingdom to be set up here on this earth. They were looking for that king, that Messiah. They were looking for Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. And when he came, why is that? Were they lacking in evidence? Were they lacking in knowledge? No. They were lacking in interpretation of the word. They were listening to what people had to say instead of listening to what the Holy Spirit had to say to them. And thereby they missed recognizing Jesus for who he was. Jesus said, except a man be born again, You see, that's where we all start. Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Not understand. Let me tell you something, friend. You cannot understand God's word and what he wants us to get from it until you're saved, because it's a spiritual book. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, we all know that that's impossible. Nicodemus knew that that was impossible. Jesus knew that that was impossible. But listen, that's not what he's talking about. In verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, again, listen up. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to know that I preached a sermon about this verse 5 at a church before I started pastoring, and afterwards I got kind of accosted at the front door and told that I had misinterpreted the scripture. And here's why. Because I said that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And I said, baptism doesn't save you. You can only be baptized after you're saved. Okay? All right, so it's talking about two different things, right? Okay. Water, born of water, is being physically born. Now, I'm not going to go into a big lecture on birthing process and that kind of stuff. Y'all understand. But that is talking about a physical birth. That's this body, okay? You got to be born first, all right? Then you have to be born of the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? That means that you have to call upon the name of the Lord as your Savior. That means that you have to come to an understanding and a realization that Jesus died on the cross for us and that his shed blood covers our sin. That's a spiritual birth. Listen to me, friend. People construe the Word of God to fit their own wants, desires, interpretations all the time. Shame on us for doing it. We have the truth. All we have to do is seek it out. Okay? All right. It's talking about two births. Nicodemus. All right. You have to be saved first to be baptized. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Okay? That which is born of flesh is flesh. Verse 6. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Listen to me, friend. Until you are a born-again believer and the Holy Spirit moves inside of you, you cannot understand this book. But when you have that, you know what you need to be able to understand this book? Is a willing heart and a little bit of elbow grease. And you don't need anybody else. It's right here. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the truth. Okay? Now, you cannot please God, period, until you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I don't care how good you are. I don't care what kind of work you do. I don't care how many mission trips you go on. You can't please God until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And after that, it's that daily journey when we take up our cross and we march one day, one foot in front of the other to become the person, the Christian, the born-again believer that God would have us to be. That's how you please God. He'll lead you to the truth. When you read and study, pray. When you listen to the Spirit, he'll lead you to the truth. Now, if you study to show yourself approved, remember that scripture? A workman rightly dividing the scripture, okay? That means it takes a little effort. Then You have a foundation to start upon. You ever built a building? Do you know that if you don't get your foundation right, your building won't ever be square or plumb or true or last? So you got to get the foundation right. The foundation, salvation, then a good old-fashioned little bit of elbow grease and the Word of God. Now, I was reading one of these commentaries concerning the passages we're about to read in just a little bit in 2 Timothy. And the writer said, and it just was like a red beacon that went off, and he said, this only applies to the Old Testament because that's all they had available at that time. I said, shame on you. Be careful what you read. Be careful who you listen to. And balance it against what God says. Shame on him. Do you know that Moses wasn't there in the Garden of Eden? He didn't see it with his own eyes. But he recorded it in Genesis because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. God gave that to Moses to write for us, all of us. How much of the Bible is relevant to us today? All of it. Every bit of it. It's God's word to us. Moses wasn't there, but God was. He knew what went on, and he related that. He gave it to Moses. It applies to all of us just like it did back then, okay? What I'm fixing to read, 2 Timothy 3. I couldn't get to where I was going without kind of going around and around this morning, so forgive me and bear with me. I'll try to wrap it up here in a little bit, okay? 2 Timothy 3 and 10. All right, Paul is writing to Timothy. Okay, you remember Timothy? He was a great man of God, did great works. Paul, the apostle, was writing to him. All right, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. He's talking about Paul. What's a doctrine? It's a teaching. Okay, Paul is telling Timothy, you know what I teach, my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, the good news is that Paul was delivered. Okay, he's telling Timothy there, he said, you know my life, you know what I stand for, you know what I've preached and taught, you know what I've been through, and you know that God delivered me from all of them. Let me tell you something, friend. God is still in as much control of what happens to us today as he was to Paul when he penned these words. The good news is God delivered him from all of these things. The bad news comes next, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I was told the other day that when I got saved, it'd all be good. Health and wealth and fame. That's a different book than I read, friend. Jesus said, if they hated me and they persecuted me, what do you think they're going to do to you? Paul says this, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, we're living a life right now of persecution. Well, maybe not like they have in some of the third world countries, and we obviously don't have to meet in a basement somewhere and to be able to worship God, but look around at what's going on in our nation right now. Christians are being persecuted more than ever in America. Our freedoms are being taken. And don't fool yourself, it's getting worse. And it will intensify more as we get closer to the end when Jesus comes back for us. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I want to focus on this just a minute. Do we live in a vacuum? Are we like an ostrich that wants to stick our head in the sand and ignore the things that are going on around us? Or do we as Christians want to be informed so that we can function properly even when we're being persecuted? I hope it's the latter. Because, friend, time is marching on. And Jesus is coming back one of these days. It might be soon. It might be soon. We don't live in a vacuum. This world is full of evil men and women that are perverting the Word of God and that are trying to persuade people to see their point of view for their own purpose. Look at what all is going on in the world today. Drugs. It's everywhere. Drug addictions are everywhere. Sex trafficking. I mean, several high-profile cases in our news media in the last several months, for sure last few years, of all these sex trafficking rings and stuff that are going on in America. Political corruption. You can read into that whatever you'd like. Have you listened to any news lately? What about religious corruption? We're talking about people that are standing behind pulpits that are preaching stuff other than God's Word. We're talking about men and women who write books to influence people are not listening to God's Word. Church people are being taught and told things right now across America that is completely contrary to the Word of God. Now, you're probably sitting out there right now thinking, I wonder where this crazy preacher is going with all this. I have a point. I'll get there in a minute. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child is still Paul talking to Timothy. Continue in the things that you've learned. Okay? Should we continue in the old way? In the old truth? And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy's mother, bless her heart, taught him the scripture. Paul taught him the scripture. Timothy knew the truth. He studied for himself. Paul's telling him, hold fast the truth of God's word, right? Here, continue in the knowledge. Continue. Oh, but preacher, God didn't know that we were going to be here today. Yes, he did. He knew. I want to tell you something, friend. God is never caught by surprise about anything. So, he knew we were going to be here. Now, God is telling us that he never changes. So continue holding firm to God's truth. Listen carefully for me just a second. Any agenda that is not God's agenda is Satan's agenda. Now, if you'll look right here in the flyleaf of my little Bible, you'll see that I write some of this stuff down just because I like it and it means something to me. And you'll find that statement written right here. I want you to listen to it again. Any agenda that is not God's agenda is Satan's agenda. Okay, keep that in mind as we move forward. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect, mature. God expects us to mature as Christians after we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He don't expect us to sit back on our laurels and do nothing and be happy. Although we should be happy that we know Jesus, that is where we start, not where we finish. We all have the ability to be mature Christians if we will just study God's Word. Okay? All right. I want you to know this morning that perilous times are upon us. Just open your eyes. These evil men and women or seducers are wax worse and worse as we speak. I think a lot about all the evil that's in the world today. We could go on a tirade of things at this point, but for lack of time, I want to just focus on one thing that we're being told in our United States of America that's ridiculous. And it's a thing called climate change. You're crazy, preacher. No. Guess what? Man will never destroy this earth. Amen. We're being told by a very corrupt media, one with an agenda, that unless we completely change everything we are doing in 12 years, this world will cease to exist. That's garbage. Well, let me tell you something. This world will not end for at least 107,000 years. You know how I know this? Because I read the Word. I read the Word. How do you know that, preacher? Read the Scripture. Let me tell you what. Satan and his cohorts would have us believe that we are in control of our own destiny and that we have the ability to change the direction of the world, and that we have the ability to determine right from wrong. And you see, I kind of weaseled this into the back door, but that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Okay, they're going to scare us to death about climate change. We've got to change everything. Read the Word. Don't be led astray. Don't be deceived by people with their own agenda. Jesus has to come back for those of us who have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior before this earth comes to an end. Then, if you'll read it, you'll see it's in there. 1,000 years. Okay? Okay, well, I don't know about that coming at the beginning of the tribulation stuff, preach. Okay, so in the middle, if you like. Whatever. Still over 1,000 years. A whole lot further than 12. You know, I'm one of those whosoever's have been born again, and I'm still here. Jesus ain't come back yet, but He's coming. Now listen. Listen, we're being persecuted. Those of us who believe the truth, because we're not in that tribulation period, doesn't mean we're not going to see trials and hardships. Tribulation has to occur right here on this earth. Tribulation is God's wrath being poured out on a world that has rejected Jesus Christ. What about all those hurricanes they're talking about? They're getting bigger and bigger, more intense and more strong. Is that not tribulation, preacher? No, it's not. And oh, by the way, contrary to what some of the news media will tell you, if you go and look it up, this hurricane that hit the Bahamas, devastating storm, Category 5. That's the highest category. But if you'll go back and you'll look up the history, and I did, I looked it up. You can look it up for yourself. Dorian was a devastating storm, but not nearly the strongest one on record. And if you listen to the media, they'll tell you that all these storms are getting bigger and bigger because of global warming and climate change and da-da-da-da-da. There's been bigger storms than Dorian as far back as the early 1900s. Look it up. You can find it. Don't let them play on our emotions. Let's look at the facts. Let's read the Word. Let's study for ourselves. Let me tell you something, friend. This earth will not be destroyed within 12 years. Satan has to be bound for 1,000 years. Christ sits on the throne during that time, ruling with a rod of iron. Judgment. Cleansing of the earth, Revelations 21. You knew I was going there. Revelations 21. Now I don't want you to leave here this morning and say, "Well, preacher, I don't care nothing about the environment." I do. We're stewards. We're supposed to take care of this earth. But let me tell you something. Mankind is not going to destroy this earth. Oh, well, that preacher's crazy. I can hear him right now. Revelations 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Do you see a common factor? It's all about God. God's got us a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to bring it down here to this earth, and we're going to get to spend eternity with him. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne. Does your Bible have red letters? Jesus, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh," that's born again believers, "shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let me tell you something, friend. God is in complete control of everything that's going on around us today. You know what we're responsible for? Ourselves. I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for what I preach. I'm responsible for what I teach. So are you. And guess what? God gave a rainbow back in the day when he flooded this world as a promise that he wouldn't destroy this world with flood. But I want you to know something. This old world is plagued by sin nature, just like mankind. And Jesus has to redeem this earth just like he redeems us. And one of these days, at the time that God has appointed, this old world will be cleansed by fire, and all the impurities and all the things that are bad are going to be burned up, and we're getting a new heaven and a new earth. And we're not going to have pollution anymore. We're not going to have acid rain anymore. We're not going to even need the power plants, coal burners. Oh, by the way, where do you think all that stuff came from? Oh, it was just a coincidence, preacher. No. And God made this earth to sustain life until he gets ready to cleanse it and make it eternal for us. But pay attention to what's going on in the world, folks. But take your knowledge and your understanding of where we're at from the Word. I feel for those people down in the Bahamas, and I know they're totally devastated, and loss of life is great. That was a devastating storm, there's no doubt. But I want you to know that that storm was in as much control of God as anything else on this world. Well, they seem to be coming more often, okay? We're going to study about that some. We call them birthing pains. Earthquakes are more frequent. Let me tell you, the sin on this earth that causes it to go through these convulsions, the things that are going to happen are going to continue to get in more frequency until Jesus comes back. But you getting an electric car is not going to fix it. Only Jesus is. You see, they want to scare us into doing what they want. And what we need to understand is that we need to be scared and do what God wants. And that's continue to preach the Word. Knowledge and understanding only comes after you accept Jesus Christ. Until then, you're at the mercy of a corrupt world. After that, you're under the mercy of a just God. Listen to, if you turn on the news and that's all you listen to, it'll scare you to death. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll wonder what's happening, what's going on, what's going to happen, what do we need to do? Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, first. And you need to trust God and listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming back. When? I don't know. But it could be soon. I believe we're supposed to be good stewards of this old earth. But us doing the best that we can is not going to change God's plan one iota. It's all under His control. Don't let them scare you. Because when we know Jesus is Lord and Savior and we know the Scripture, we know He's coming back. And we know that that's the only true hope of a brighter, better future that we have. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's where it starts. Think of old Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit, or else you'll never see the kingdom of God in its total completeness. Oh, I know the kingdom of God is here on this earth right now in part. But when Jesus comes back and rules this earth with a rod of iron, we'll truly see it. And you can be a part of that if you accept Jesus. Know this. You know, we might unleash every atomic bomb that's ever been made, and we may greatly hurt this earth, but even that won't destroy it because God has plans for us. Are you in God's plan? Are you listening to what He wrote us, what He gave us, what He sent us? That's our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, not even in the government of the United States of America, which is the greatest nation this world has ever known. That's not where our hope is. Our hope's in God. I want to ask Gene and Linda Gale if they would come. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. Confess and believe. The Scripture tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a whosoever? Stand with me for a word of prayer. Fathers, we come to you at this time, Lord, we're thankful for your word that tells us And when we read and study and let the Spirit lead us and gives us knowledge and understanding of the truth, that, Lord, everything starts with Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's any here today that don't know Him as Lord and Savior, they would come to know Him before it's eternally too late. Lord, I thank You for the assurances in Your Word that tell us that You are in complete control of everything. That You keep us saved after we're saved. What we've committed to You, You keep. Lord, I do pray for the leaders of our country, of the world. I pray for the condition of this whole world, Lord, for the sin that's rampant. I pray, Lord, that Your will would be done in each and every life. And when people truly come to know Jesus, that their hearts will be changed. That's what makes a difference in this world. Pray for the salvation of the lost scattered around about us. But I pray, Lord, for the strength of those that are saved, that they would read and study God's Word and be stronger and be better Christians. And let the Spirit guide them to the truth. And these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 190.
Coming our way this morning, and